Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newstalk 830 WCCO, time is 1:07. Chad Hartman is off today. This is Chris Eggert with 5 Eyewitness News. Glad to be with you. Glad to be hanging out. I'm feeling more comfortable doing the radio thing. I'm stressing less about where the conversation could go.
That's good.
I'm just having an on-air editorial meeting with everybody right now. I get very wound up and I'm stressed about that we're not going to have something to talk about. We obviously have had all kinds of things to talk about so far today. The situation in Los Angeles, terrible situation with the fires. Good to get some perspective from a reporter who lived out there, Kristen Burt. Nice conversation with her. Dave and I are going to get into some whimsical. Whimsy isn't really the right word.
Lighter fare.
Lighter fare. That's like on the menu when for the early bird special at Perkins. It'll be like, lighter fare.
Yes. Here's your soup and salad section.
Chicken salad sandwich and... a cup of chicken noodle.
That's a lot of chicken.
It's a lot of chicken.
Double dose of chicken. Yeah, you want to calm down on the poultry there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Glad to have you with us today. I don't know why I feel I needed to announce that to everyone.
Just so you know, Chris is getting better at this. That's what he's telling you.
I never said I'm getting better at it. I said I'm feeling less stressed about it.
Well, less sweat coming off your brow.
It's extremely stressful for me. It's a much different animal than doing the television news like I have done for the last 20, I don't even know, however many years, 26, 7. I did start out as radio. My radio name was... Sky Stevens.
Sky Stevens.
Yep.
Was that one you came up with yourself, or did you think? did a boss say, here's what we need to go with
you? I decided to become Sky Stevens because one of my basketball coaches at the time had a son by the name of Sky, and I thought it was a cool name. And so I took that upon myself, and so I was Sky Stevens. And when I was doing the 6 to 12 shift at night, I did that all through college, worked full-time in radio as I was going to college. And then at one point then moved to the afternoon drive, the 3 to 6, and then I became Chris Kelly.
Oh, Chris Kelly.
I don't know. I've never quite got the radio thing where people use different, the fake last names. I've never really quite understood that.
Sometimes it just sounds good.
You
got some, your last name is basically a Scrabble set,
Right.
Make it easy.
Like Harrigan is obviously a great radio name. That you came up with.
Thank you.
So that's a fake name, I assume.
Yeah, so fake. No.
What's your real name?
Sky Stevens. So when you go to your boss, when you have your interview, you're Chris.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, nice to meet you.
But on air.
Congratulations, you're hired. You'll be doing the evening shift. What would you like your name to be on air? Are you going to go by Chris or would you like something else? Well, actually, I was thinking Sky Stevens.
I mean, it's so stupid.
I mean, do you get a snicker?
I don't even remember having the conversation. I don't even remember having a conversation. I don't even remember having a conversation. Like, it's been so long ago now. It's so ridiculous that I sit here and talk about it that's what I came up with. And it was a country music station, like old twangy country.
Yeah.
Like John Conley,
you could have been Willie Stevens, but Sky,
right? Rose colored glasses type. I should have been something more like Chip Junkin, or I don't know, some.
Instead, you're Sky Stevens, spinning the hot stacks of wax from the top of the stacks. Yeah,
That was good stuff. Well, nice little walk down memory lane there. WCCO talking text line 651-461-9226.
You are officially Sky Stevens in my phone
now.
Yeah,
I should be. It was quite a day. But then I've evolved. I turned myself, went from radio to television, and here I am now sitting at News Talk 830 WCCO, the powerhouse. How many watts?
We got a 50,000-watt flamethrower.
This baby's it's all over the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's a fact. When I was growing up over in Sodak, we could get CCO.
Oh, the weather's right, man. We travel far.
Mm-hmm. Twins games. Great memories. So I generally would stay away from the topic of Donald Trump. How do I put this? I am a news person. Generally, in my job as a news person, am trying to present things without sides. I know that doesn't always happen, and I hear from many of you who say we rarely ever present it right down the middle. But I work, and I think our organization works very hard to not pile on one side or the other and just sort of report the facts. I am admittedly fascinated with Donald Trump. And sort of as things have evolved, as he's getting ready to take office, whether it's the meetings with high profile people, whether it's seeming people of influence and money and power kind of going and trying to make things right with him or kiss the ring or however you want to put it. But I'm most fascinated right now with the news conference that he had yesterday, where he talked about all kinds of things. We're going to play a little bit of it. Let's start with maybe the least controversial of the things that he said yesterday at Mar-a-Lago about turning the Gulf of Mexico into the renaming it as the Gulf of America.
So we're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate.
I mean, it's appropriate. And that's not something that he just made up. Like, there are people out there, and that's been something that's been talked about. Is it that insane? I don't know.
Has it been talked about?
Yeah.
When you were in Florida, was that something you heard more of? Because it was your neighbor?
No, I did a little research on this morning, okay. And there are circles of people who have suggested a name change for the Gulf of Mexico. It's not a big, not like an overwhelming, like, I'm going to get rid of daylight saving time, or, you know, one of those types of things. Mm-hmm. It's never that big of a talker of a topic, but okay. Would that be that big of a deal?
Well, Mexico might not appreciate it. Are they going to have to pay to rewrite all the maps out there?
I don't know. I don't know. To me, that was the least controversial thing he said yesterday.
That's probably because I don't think he was talking about military or economic force.
No, he's talking about changing the name.
Yeah, we're just going to do it.
I'm going to change the Atlantic Ocean to the Sea of America.
Good deal.
I mean,
I'd take the Pacific first. You know, it's larger. We've got those islands right in the middle of it.
Yeah,
anyway.
No, that's true. We might have a bit of a ownership claim on that.
I think we do.
Okay. So Gulf of Mexico. All right. Gulf of America. Okay. And then he talked about the idea of, well, Jason DeRusha just walked in. Hello, Jason. How do you feel about the Gulf of America?
I love this country. I think we should call everything America.
We just said, why not name the Atlantic Ocean the American Ocean?
Don't see the issue.
I don't
also know. Like my thoughts and prayers to you, because I remember 4 years of waking up every morning wondering what sort of nonsense was going to come out of the president and what sort of stupidity were we going to have to talk about on the news today. And
I actually, after the what I would say has been a fairly pulseless presidency for Joe Biden.
Yeah, literally, perhaps.
Right. I don't know. I'm sort of entertained with the Gulf of America thing. And,
that's fine.
And some
it's
of
harmless,
this.
Right?
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
I don't know. Coming up at 4:30, we are going to rank the top three states that we think we should get rid of.
Oh.
because, you know, now that we're going to add in Canada, Greenland, and the Panama Canal, we cannot...
We'll take Ohio right now. I'll tell you that right now. Nobody wants Ohio.
Ohio could go. I think if we've learned anything over the last couple of years, it's that we do not want to redesign our flag.
No, we definitely don't want to do that. We do not want to do that.
Right. So we're going to need to eliminate three states.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Hey, thanks for letting me come.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by. I know you weren't expecting to come on.
Good to see you.
We're doing a real deep tease for the Jason DeRusha show coming up here in a little bit. Stay tuned.
3 hours and 13 minutes away.
Do not go anywhere. All right, so the Gulf of America thing, okay, that's a thing. He also brought up the idea, which is it's an interesting concept, for the United States to take over the Panama Canal.
The Panama Canal is a disgrace, what took place at the Panama Canal. Jimmy Carter gave it to them for $1, and they were supposed to treat us well. I thought it was a terrible thing to do. You know, it was the most expensive structure ever built in the history of our country, relatively. It would be the equivalent of substantially over $1 trillion today. We lost 38,000 people. Think of it, 38,000 people, they died from malaria, mosquitoes. They were unable to stop the mosquitoes. They paid people five times more to take the job. Many of those people died. We gave it away for $1.
All right. Well, I believe leadership in Panama has said, you know, that this is a non-starter. And I
could understand why. They probably like having the canal there.
It's a bit of an economic boon.
One of them.
It's an economic driver for them. There. How's that? Okay. I mean, I definitely get the idea of having more American influence over such an important waterway that does indeed play a major role in the moving of commerce.
Mm-hmm.
I think over the last, particularly with COVID and, dock workers strikes and all kinds of things that have gone on, bridges falling down. Well, a ship ran into it, but I mean, we do see how fragile the shipping industry can be and supply chains can be. If one thing falls out of place, would America taking over the Panama Canal fix all that? Would it give me cheaper groceries? Well, are your goods that come over from another part of the world, are they going to be cheaper if we were to take over? Like, to me, you want to make this argument, because I think a lot of people voted for him for the pure economic conversation of, I had more money when Trump was in office before.
It's the economy, stupid.
It's the economy, period. And we heard a lot about that. So some of these ideas that are being floated out there right now, it's nothing to do with that. Like, connect the dots. We're going to take over the Panama Canal. Here's why that's going to be better for you. Pasta is going to, instead of being $2.99, which, by the way, pasta is pretty affordable. Right? I mean, as these things go.
Oh, yes.
I'm just saying, maybe it's a bad example. This pasta is going to go from $2.99 a box to $1.99 because we've taken over the Panama Canal.
We don't have to pay nearly as much for those ships to go through from that fresh Italian pasta shipped over here from Naples and Rome and wherever else they come from.
Which, by the way, would have to be shipped if it let's assume it came from. So that would be going south down through the Panama Canal and then around to get to the West Coast.
Well, yeah, they bring it in through San Francisco, I believe. That's the pasta headquarters of the U.S. I don't know if you're aware of that. That's a Rice-A-Roni.
Yeah,
never mind.
Say Rice-A-Roni.
It's a San Francisco treat.
WCCO Talk and Text Line 651-461-9226. I'm loving what you guys have had weigh in. Trump is bringing up all these harebrained topics to keep the citizens from pressing him to make good promises on less expensive groceries, gas. Okay. This person's kind of picking up what we were just throwing down there a minute ago. One of the other things he brought up that I think is also worth talking about a little bit is the United States taking over Greenland.
Well, we need Greenland for national security purposes. I've been told that for a long time, long before I even ran. I mean, people have been talking about it for a long time. You have approximately 45,000 people there. People really don't even know if Denmark has any legal right to it. But if they do, they should give it up because we need it for national security. That's for the free world. I'm talking about protecting the free world.
So it is a territory of Denmark.
Yeah, but nobody knows if they have a right to it. But if they do, they should give it up. I love that line. I love that.
I've known all kinds of people who've gone to Greenland.
Really? And, what circles do you run in?
Not me. I'm happy to like go to Ames for the weekend.
Well, the fact that you know people that have weekended in Greenland.
Well, there's a lot of pretty good airfare deals from Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. I'm thinking of Iceland. I'm wrong land of frozen things.
Maybe they're close.
I'm thinking Iceland. Sorry, just rewind that.
It's a good story,
though.
Can
you edit that out? Okay, 3, 2, 1. All right, edit that out. Thank you. Edit out what I just said. But the whole Greenland thing, didn't really know that much about, but because of this conversation, first of all, Donald's son is there.
Yeah.
On a peacekeeping mission.
Don Jr. Just testing the waters.
Up, yep. Just shows up in Greenland. Says they'll take good care of him. Better. To me, this is the comedy of, and I know a lot of you out there don't think it's comedy, and that's fair. WCCO talking text line 651-461-9226. But having been through 4 years of this, as Darusha was just saying, you do know what we know what we're going to get to some extent. It's discussion like this. It's sending Donald Trump Jr. to Greenland for whatever reason. It's
a press conference that could go any one of a million different ways.
Yeah, but at least
Don gets up there and he starts riffing.
Buddy, he held a press conference.
Mm-hmm. And you're not going to believe what he said.
That might be true, but he stood up in front of the camera, which I've not seen a lot of that coming from President Biden.
Yeah.
And when he has, it has not gone well.
Well, we just saw him on CNN standing next to Gavin Newsom.
He was supposed to be talking about the fire, and he didn't. He looked like he had no idea what was even happening.
The note card he was looking down at.
Right. He was stuck there, by the way, I believe. He was out there yesterday, and I don't think they let them fly the airplane out because the winds were so strong.
I believe that.
I heard that. Do we have to go to break now?
We should do that.
Okay, let's go to break. Love to talk more about this. WCCO, talking text line 651-461-9226. News Talk 830 WCCO. Time is 1:28. Chad Hartman is off today. Chris Eggert with 5 Eyewitness News here hanging out with you today. And for my money, that is Elvis Presley's finest song.
You are 100% correct.
Great. I'm glad we agree
on
that.
That's all I need to say, yes.
Fantastic song.
Scientifically proven.
Fantastic song.
Suspicious Minds is peak Elvis.
I did not even want to jump on and ruin the song by talking, but this is a news talk station.
Yeah, eventually
it's not the Elvis station.
Then we're in some trouble if we pay too much music.
Yep. I know. It's a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fine line. We don't even do the music over at Channel 5 anymore.
None. No.
None. Nope.
Just all generic, you know, people hear it's...
Yeah, our own.
Okay.
Mix.
You got some guy over on the keyboard in the corner next to Barlow.
Yeah. Every morning we come on. It's like Paul Schaefer. It's our Paul Schaefer. Bad jokes and everything. WCCO talking text line 651-461-9226. Oh, there you are, everyone. I see you. I see you out there now. All we had to do was bring up a little Donald Trump, and it's all lit up. It's all lit up. You guys have all kinds of things to say. It's his typical attempt to draw attention with another shiny object to realize he doesn't actually have a plan for anything. One of your comments, solve the Ukraine war. Russia keeps the land. Trump get a new hotel and golf course near Moscow. Okay. Thanks for that comment. I think Donald watched the movie Greenland a few too many times. Many people have said Marjorie Taylor Greene's family originated in Greenland. I don't know anything about that. Admittedly.
I don't know. I haven't 23andMe'd Marjorie Taylor
Greene. Yeah, I haven't done the Ancestry.com on her or her family. One of the other things that of this conversation, this started prior to the news conference yesterday at Mar-a-Lago, but one of the other big things that's been happening in North America politics is a situation in Canada, Justin Trudeau stepping down. Donald Trump's been trolling Canada, for lack of a better way to say it. He's been referring to Canada as the 51st state, and he's been beating the drum there on that pretty hard. Let's listen.
Are you also considering military force to annex and acquire Canada?
No. Economic force. Because Canada and the United States, that would really be something. You get rid of that artificially drawn line, and you take a look at what that looks like, and it would also be much better for national security. Don't forget, we basically protect Canada. But here's the problem with Canada. So many friends up there. I love the Canadian people. They're great. But we're spending hundreds of billions a year to protect it.
All right. So we could take over Canada?
Just that's economic.
It's a thought.
Economic pressure, though. We're not going to send the military up there.
Well, and I think there's a the drum he has been beating over the last couple of weeks. I'm sure that was a big factor in Justin Trudeau stepping down. And there's a lot going on beyond that. But I listened to his news conference a couple of days ago, and I want to do the best I can for my party, and I'm not doing that right now, and it's basically distracting, and I'm going to step down. I want to give us a better chance. I mean, paraphrasing. He also did it with a Canadian accent.
A lot of A's. A lot of boots.
I don't know. I mean, this is Donald Trump. We know Donald Trump. And based on your comments on the WCCO talk and text line, a lot of you have strong opinions about him. Now, most of what we're seeing here so far, so far of what we're coming in is what's coming in is not too pro Trump. Seems very anti Trump. By the way, he won the election.
He did.
So everyone's clear on that.
Yeah, he did very well in the swing states.
And by the way, somebody's asking. I'm sorry, I just tuned in. Who's subbing for Chad? My name is Chris Eggert. I do the news over on Channel 5. I generally stay away from the political topics because I talk about it enough. But I do realize that, and I think some of this is just Trump being Trump.
It's typical Trump bluster, right?
Right.
It's take a topic, riff on it, you know, just talk as big of a game as you possibly can. Is there, back it up. Who cares?
Is there something there to some of these conversations? For sure. I'm sure there is. Will anything happen with any of these things? I guess we'll find out, right?
I don't think the percent chance of us getting Canada as a 51st state are high.
I don't see that as being a real... the Greenland thing, though, is the more fascinating thing to me at the moment of all the ideas that have been talked about. I'm not saying I have no idea whether it's possible.
Well, let's talk to Denmark. You know,
right.
if it's a territory of theirs, you know, they're probably thinking, wait, somebody wants this?
Well,
how much are they willing to pay?
I was reading that Greenland is very rich in natural resources and things that you can make computer chips out of.
Well, that would
so
be nice
there actually
have.
Is a wealth of resource in Greenland. It's got obvious strategic importance based on where it's at. There's already a military presence there in the United States. But I did hear a bit on this Greenland thing that I didn't think of before. And there's a theory. And I don't know if you remember what this thing is called, because I had to really think back to those of us of a certain age who have – when we were growing up and the teacher was talking about X, Y, Z in the world, they pull down one of those big maps.
Mm-hmm.
Off the chalkboard, and the phenomenon called the Mercator projection. What is the Mercator projection, Chris? You're asking, probably, unless you're wise in the ways of map mapping.
I'm asking.
So you know how when you look at the Earth is round. At least most of us believe
allegedly.
That. Most of us believe that the Earth is round, and when you take it and flatten it out, for a flat map with no dimension, it distorts the size of things in reality to what they really are. And if you look at a map, because of the Mercator projection, Greenland looks as big as Africa.
On the flat map.
It looks, on the flat map. I'm looking at it right now.
So that is the Mercator effect. I didn't know the name of it, but I remember learning that in geography in school, that if you look at the globe, the actual round globe, if you got one of those, you spin it around,
yep.
You see Greenland as it is. You look at it on the map, boom!
Right.
It's huge.
It's as big as Africa. Well, why wouldn't we want to take it? There are some who are saying that Donald Trump sees that.
No. Now, size has never been an issue with Don. Look at these hands. Look at these hands. He's never once been, somebody that's obsessed with size. Crowd size, for instance, that's never been something on his radar.
It does seem like it could be at least a possibility.
There's that chance. You talk about Canada, not exactly a small area.
No.
That would be a big 51st state.
You look at the map, though, Greenland looks far bigger than Alaska and Canada. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. we may never know this mystery. If I had a chance to talk to incoming President Trump, that would be the first thing.
You wouldn't bring a map and a globe and ask him,
sir, what do you know about the Mercator projection? Oh, that'd be a fun news conference. All right, WCCO talking text line 651-461-9226. We're going to dramatically change the subject to something even more controversial when we come back. Girl Scout cookies. Love them? Hate them? Too expensive?
Yeah. All of the above?
Yeah, it's controversy. All controversy this afternoon. News Talk 830 WCCO. Happy birthday to Elvis Presley, 90 years old today. News Talk 830 WCCO. Nice selection of music. Anytime I hear Elvis, I just kind of want to, I'll think about it. I don't do impersonations. Chris Hager,
first
by the
person
way,
I've heard do an Elvis impersonation.
And for Chad Hartman, I don't do Elvis impersonations, but I just think of big Elvis with his leisure suit and he's like, is that what I say? It's so lonely.
You don't do an impression though.
I've never done an Elvis impression. This is the first time this has ever come out of my mouth. I swear to God.
I think you can sell that.
I feel like I might have something to work with there if the TV thing doesn't work out. And it's not, the radio thing's not working out based on a lot of things I'm hearing from you guys so far. Mercator projection is what we were talking about with Greenland and why it looks the way it does on the map.
No way to blow that one.
Not Mercator. I messed that up. I own it. I want you guys out there listening to hear something very important right now. There's lots of websites dedicated to people opening things.
Yes, very popular.
What you're hearing is the opening of a fresh box. And I'm seeing it. You're not seeing it. I'm seeing it for the first time. Girl Scout cookies.
We've got the Thin Mints in your right hand. And what do we have in the left?
Toast, yay.
What's on a toast?
French toast inspired cookies dipped in delicious icing.
Okay.
I think this is the one that's getting canceled, actually.
I think that's one of three.
Yeah.
There's that, the s'mores ones, and I can't remember the name of the third one that's getting the axe after this year. Is the swan song.
You want to try a toastier?
Not really, but sure.
All right, give her a shot.
I don't care for the Thin Mints. I'm just not a mint guy.
You don't like the thing. I mean, I get it.
Mint is a flavor, just isn't my thing.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. So it's Girl Scout cookie season. In my recollection, I don't remember there ever being a season declared of Girl Scout cookies. Like, this is the season for Girl Scout cookies.
And, smells very cinnamon here, these toastiers.
Toastiers. Just the name alone, I think it should be canceled.
That's fair. Come on, Scouts, do better.
First of all, give us the review on the toastier.
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it worth $6 a box?
No.
Are any of them worth $6 a box?
No, they are not. I will give the Toastiers credit. It looks like there's a decent amount. There's probably 20 cookies or so in here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay. Some of them, you get the whole box and there's like three.
Yeah, you feel like there's nothing. I would say the Thin Mints seem to be, you know, fairly well packaged, good solid box.
They're thin.
You're not paying for air. You're not paying for air. So the 2025 season is officially upon us for the Girl Scout cookies. And you've never had a scout over there, right, David?
No. No. My girls are now 8 and 4, and God willing, we will never have a Girl Scout. They've not inquired about it yet.
Why do you hate the Girl Scouts?
I don't want to be a part of the cookie sales. That sounds like way too much work. I don't want to have to bring the thing to the office.
It's not very nice to call your daughter a thing.
Not my daughter, the order sheet.
Oh.
I don't have to hang that up and badger my fellow employees to, come on, who needs some do-si-dos or some whatever you call them things here? Who needs a box? What do you say? Fork over $50 and I'll get you 8 cookies. What do you say?
I feel like the Girl Scouts, what has become their brand is the cookies. And what else are they doing? I know they're doing great things. I know they've got other opportunities. But when there's a declaration of cookie season,
They've made it. There's no question. They have made it. They are part of the national lexicon.
They're crushing the Boy Scouts with their overpriced popcorns. There's no doubt about that.
You want to talk about overpriced popcorn?
That Boy Scouts popcorn is like, it's like gold.
Years ago, they showed up at my house when I wasn't home. It was just my wife home alone. And yes, honey, you're getting thrown under the bus here in a matter of moments. As I came home, she told me, yeah, some boys showed up at the door and they were selling popcorn. So I gave them $20, $30, whatever it was. I said, all right, well, where's the popcorn? And she says, here's the thing. When I gave them the money, they said, well, do you really want the popcorn? Like, apparently most people just throw the money and say, I don't actually want your garbage popcorn.
Now that's
and so she said, I guess not. And so
it's
she
extortion.
Just, yes. Yes, she got fooled into buying popcorn that we never even got. So naturally now, whenever we go to a movie and get the big bucket of popcorn, I have to look over and say, hey, she's filled up. Look at this, huh? And then I get the side eye. I get the,
Oh, what a good story. I love that you can continue to give your wife.
It's, the gift that keeps on giving. It was definitely worth the however much cash she handed over to the little rascals at the time.
Listen, I respect the importance of knowing how to be able to ask for things or show some salesmanship or learn the lesson of talking to someone and convincing them to buy a cookie.
Just gaining confidence in the world. Just
absolutely.
Getting out there and speaking and being yourself.
As a parent of, not grown, I've got a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old.
And your daughter, she was not a Girl Scout?
She was not a Girl Scout. I'm not mad at them for the cookies themselves. I think there's a lesson for the children to learn. What I don't like, and sort of exactly what you brought up, Dave, is that it becomes more of a parent sales job than the kids. And if you've got your little girl at the grocery store and she's standing by the door and she asks me when I walk in if I want to buy a cookie, I'm gonna buy a box no matter what, because that child learned a lesson. They had to make a sale, which is a valuable thing for people to know. I mean, if you don't have to actually be in the sales industry, but anything you want to get accomplished in life, you're making some kind of a sale, right?
Yeah.
It's when the parents do all the job for them. I don't get it.
Well, and that goes beyond the Girl Scouts.
For sure. I mean, it goes to any of the fundraisers.
You know, yeah, my kids have fundraisers for their school now. And immediately the first ask is, you get the sheet that comes home. And the first thing is, all right, parents, download the app. Send the link off to all your friends and coworkers and neighbors and, via social media. And here's your QR code and all that stuff. Well, when I was a kid, we walked And, you know, I'm sure there's
uphill both ways.
Perhaps safety reasons why we don't do this anymore. But
you walked around
the neighborhood by yourself with a box of candy bars and said, "Here, give you a Crunch bar for a buck." What do you say?
Yep. And people bought it for you from you. I bet
they did.
I hate doing the online thing or the text, and we've done it too. We've done it for any number of sports teams over the years, and people, I think people get it and they understand. I'm sitting here kind of having been guilty of it, just thinking like, and I've also sent our kids out to walk the street and, you know, do it though.
They weren't even selling anything.
Old fashioned. Yeah, just go out and walk the street, son.
Learn something about life.
Go sell something and don't come back here until you. What am I supposed to come back with? I don't know. Get $20 for popcorn, even though you don't have it.
Yeah, trick the old lady over there.
All right. WCCO, talking text line 651-461-9226. Love to hear from you. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO. Happy birthday to the king.
It's like you singing to those toasties, right? Toasties.
Elvis Presley, 90 years old today. If he's still with us.
Might be. We don't know.
So this is Chris Eggert, by the way, in for Chad Hartman. Of the topics we discussed today, I did not think that Girl Scout cookies was going to become a lightning rod conversation. But let's talk about it. We've got Mary on the line. Mary, you're a Girl Scout cookie mom?
Former Girl Scout cookie mom, yeah.
So,
former Girl Scout as well.
Okay, so it sounds like you had something to say. Let me have it.
Well, I feel like you guys kind of missed the point. The big thing about the Girl Scout is improving girls' self-esteem, showing them that there are things that they need to do in the community, for the community, but more for themselves to improve. And with the cookie sales, the troops get a portion of that money so that they can afford to do things. Otherwise, there's no funding going into the Girl Scouts. This is how they make their money to do the things they want to do for the betterment of themselves and the communities.
Mary, I don't disagree with a word you said. I agree with you 100%. I think our beef was with the fact that it becomes the parents are doing the sales, and it's not necessarily the girls who are doing the sales.
Right, and it's gotten worse. I mean, the girls used to have to go door to door and get people to sign up, and then it was the parents' obligation to get it all together and send them out to deliver the cookies and things like that. And now you can just go online and support the troop and things like that. So, yeah, it's changed, but the whole purpose of it, I believe, is extremely important.
Okay, thank you, Mary. I appreciate the call. And we have Marcia on the line. Marcia, you had something to say.
Yes, besides that I love Elvis's music.
Same.
I grew up going door to door, not only with Girl Scout cookies, but with other fundraisers for my schools when I was younger and then in junior high. And that is where I learned the marketing skills that I have used for the past 60 years, and I still use in my job.
I think that's an important thing, and Dave and I were saying that there are skills that one can learn, and there's definitely a value in having the kids out doing it. It's to me when mom and dad do it, and that's where things kind of go south. I'll pay $10 a box for the cookies if I think the kid's learning some kind of a lesson from it.
Yep, it's personal responsibility lessons too that aren't always learned today.
But I do get it. And Mary definitely mm-hmm. said is the last caller before you, Marcia, is that the technology is set up so you don't necessarily have an 8-year-old girl who has a network and has email and can reach out to people. I do get the parents having, you know, doing some of that for them. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a different world we're in now, right?
It sure is. We have to make it as best as we can.
All right, Marcia, appreciate your comments. WCCO talking text line 651-461-9226. Lots of folks weighing in on this one. I did the same, walking around the neighborhood, selling candy bars like Dave did back in the day. There was a particular brand of those fundraiser chocolates. It's like world famous, trying to remember that we all had to sell at one point or another.